In the book of Matthew 6, 25 through 33, it says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? No. Doesn't say that, I added it. And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. Indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. This week, a chilling statistic was made public. Prior to the social restrictions that were put in place in an effort to restrict the spread of COVID-19, approximately 8% of Americans were dealing with clear symptoms of depression. You may have seen this. Currently, that number is just under 33%. So take it easy on each other. It's tough out there. And one could point to many reasons for this epidemic of depression. Loved ones who have died. The restrictions on getting together with the people who are important to us. Unemployment that's really ransacked certain sectors of our economy. And this dramatic worsening of the housing shortage, you know, heightened demand for living away from crowded areas. You know, if you've tried to rent or tried to buy in the last 2 years, you've seen what's happened. The prices have skyrocketed. It makes shortages even greater. Now, clinical depression can have its source in chemical imbalances in the brain. No one is suggesting that this pandemic has been accompanied by a sudden increase in those chemical imbalances. In other words, more people are depressed because they have reasons to be depressed. These are especially hard times. Because they are, bright spots in our lives are at a premium. You know, some bright spots can help respond to those situations that kind of encourage depression. You could say we need a little Thanksgiving right this very minute. We need to be aware of what we're thankful for, so the troubles that we encounter do not gain the upper hand on us. Now, we've all known about adrenaline junkies who crave the rush of danger and the adrenaline that kicks in when that happens, and that they can further imbalance themselves by seeking a bigger and bigger rush with ever-increasing risk of harm. Well, similarly, the single-focused pursuit of those bright spots can harm our emotional equilibriums, especially if we believe it's up to us to find them. We get more and more desperate. As we enter this week of Thanksgiving, I urge you, instead of chasing the bright spots for your lives, seek the kingdom of God, the Father of lights. I want to read to you from James 1, 16 to 27. Please put your ear to this. James, leader of the New Testament church in Jerusalem. James 1, 16 to 27. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Fear anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious, but do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself unstained by the world. When James calls God the Father of lights, one of his meanings is that God is the source of the bright spots that cheer our days. Now, God does not exist to bless us. We exist because he made us. Because he loves us more than we can ever imagine, the system he's created blesses us, especially when we live according to the rules he made to govern his system. So, in the sermon text from James, James is eager for his readers to understand the way life works. God is not fickle. He is the Father of lights. He's provided us with a consistent world and a word, the scriptures, which provide us with a reliable guide to walking in his light. So finding joy in this life begins with understanding how the world works. You know, the question of believing in God is not merely a matter of what happens after we die. Does God exist? Is he good? Is he in control? Or are there competing forces and the victor is yet undetermined? Is God wise? Is someone or something smarter than God? Christians believe that God is pure good, all wise, all powerful. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's in charge. He's all-powerful. And that thought is captured in the opening lines of the grandfather of all Christian statements of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You know, beautiful people make beautiful things. I've often thought I could be great friends with whoever it was who invented hot mulled cider. The very fact that God is the creator of heaven discloses that he is both good and loving. But also, because he is our father, the kind of father earthly fathers ought to be, he does delight in easing our burdens, by providing our needs, to brighten our lives, by blessing us above and beyond those needs. He's a good, good father. One of the nice things about Thanksgiving is there's not a whole lot commercial media can do to ruin it. About the worst they can do to Thanksgiving is make it an homage to gluttony. And they try. And they do a lot worse to Christmas. We know that. There are certainly dangers to making Thanksgiving into Turkey Day, especially dangers to the person sitting across from you who might get poked in the eye by your button after you've had the third helping of smashed potatoes and gravy. But there remains a tendency in our Thanksgiving to remember the name of the holiday and actually use it as a time to count our blessings. You know, in the Midwest, a great number of farmers are only now harvesting the grain and bringing it to the big central grain elevators. They've let the corn dry on the stalk so it gets to the most value at market. You know, just about everybody in North America who makes their living off the land is wrapping up outdoor activity for the year. The encouragement that comes from gathering together to be thankful as we kind of prepare to hunker down for winter helps to carry us through. And there are so many good things in life. The kindness of friends. The partnership of a good marriage. The delight of a brilliant sunrise, the pleasure of great music, tastes, smells, textures, delighting our senses, the satisfaction of creating something useful or beautiful or both. And you could and should add many, many more. But remember, if it's a blessing, it comes from God. God is the unique creator of all things seen and unseen. So there's no other source. If you want blessing in your life, you do your best. You do best to seek God. Put it this way. You know, there's no large portions of life that are secular. All that is good is from God. So pay attention to God. Pay attention to his word. You know, there's no other source of these good gifts. The good news is that God can be depended upon to give his children all we need of those good gifts. Let's go back to the passage of Matthew from Matthew 6 that Flash Mob Bob read to us. Do you think that name will stick? I'm not sure. Our Lord is dealing precisely with the issue of people chasing after bright spots. You know, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Chasing down the blessings for their own sake. When a single-minded, narrow focus of pleasure only creates worry and discontent. You know, like his father, Jesus is also seeking to bring good into our lives. And as part of the Sermon on the Mount here, he has his disciples gathered around him. Crowds are behind them, overhearing. You know, people listen. People hear better when they're overhearing, you know. Then as now, there are lots of bad ideas about how to find joy in this life. But Jesus tells them our Heavenly Father is the only source of good gifts. What's more, as we make his kingdom our goal, he's the reliable source. Each and every joy in our life is a for instance of the grace of God. To think of the farmers again, God causes the rain to fall on the crops of the just and the unjust. God loves the whole world. He longs for all to come to him. So don't be deceived into thinking we can have good in our lives without being thankful to God as the source of those good things. So Jesus in this passage in Matthew, and then also James, and James generally believed to have been the half-brother of Jesus, they point to God as the exemplary father. For those of us who are dads, here's an example of what we can try to be. He delights to give his children good gifts. Now, when we follow Jesus, we live differently than the rest of the world. Instead of chasing the bright spots of our lives, we seek the kingdom of God, the Father of lives. And this is the path to blessing, but there's a caveat. A careful warning And you charge me as your pastor to give spiritual guidance. So I must give you this warning to beware the temptation to disobey in order to find good. I mean, we've all heard it. Oh, if you become a Christian, you'll have to give up so much good, so much fun. It's a common refrain, so much so, if you did a web search for dour Protestantism, you'll die of old age before you finish the list. Well, if your Christianity makes you a sourpuss, you ain't doing it right. Now, are there brief moments of happiness that might come from disobedience? Sometimes, and only sometimes. There are many instances the moment you disobey, the benefit you thought you were going to get disappears. You break into the bank, the alarm goes off, and the police show up before you even see the Benjamins. So I've heard. But you ask, why am I not experiencing the bright spots in my life? Why is it hard right now? We go through a tough patch. And the temptation, you know, to abuse someone we see as an obstacle, to treat sex as merely a source of cheap thrills instead of a life bond, or to take what we haven't earned, you know, they all seem to be a more reliable path to happiness. But temptation is by definition deceptive. You know, alcohol, other drugs give a moment of euphoria before exacting a toll on our bodies. One man who repeatedly engaged in domestic violence told me that his life would feel out of control, but that while he lashed out, he felt in control. Of course, as soon as it was over, he was worse off than he'd been before. The deception comes when we're in the full grip of the temptation. You can't see the inevitable consequences, or you choose not to believe them. There's a story I call When the Wild Dog Enters Your Apartment. Picture a frosty January morning in the city. The wind is howling. It's brutally cold outside. And you see this cute-looking doggy out the window, staring at you, looking so sad, so forlorn. You swear you hear those big, sad puppy eyes saying, "Won't you let me in? I'll be your best friend." There's warning alarms going off all over your head. But you ask yourself, what could go wrong? You open the door. 7 minutes. That's all it takes. Between the peeing, the clawing, the throwing up, and the biting you when you try to help him, you quickly see that what looks so appealing from a distance can be totally destructive. Isn't temptation like that? Somebody somewhere warned you not to take a stray animal in without doing due diligence. But you disregarded the guidance because you wanted to feel good about yourself. You know, there's one way to have the inner strength, one way, so you don't need to seek harmful shortcuts to happiness. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross to pay a debt he didn't owe. He did it because he loves you, the real you that you may not even show many people at all. And he offers you the gift of a clean slate, membership in his family. He proved that he is God, not only by miracles, but by most clearly by rising from the dead, you know, the perhaps ultimate miracle. He offers you the Holy Spirit to live in you as his presence, his power, to live an abundant, victorious life. Accepting his gift requires you to make room for it by turning away from your own disobedience and asking him to be Lord of your life. That's the source of joy. That's the reservoir of strength so that we can resist the shortcuts. Will you accept the gift? You know, that analogy I give of addictions. But there's other ways to make this analogy to that wild dog. The world is filled with afflictions disguised as temporary pleasures. We end up alone and we make ourselves feel good at the expense of others. You know, the know-it-all who flaunts his book smarts feels pretty stupid when instead of impressing others, he turns them away. We can easily see how this applies to the commandments, you know, murder, adultery, theft, quickly scar the perpetrator as well as the victim. And collateral damage abounds. James talked about the unbridled tongue, you know, without control. It complains about what God has given, when in reality, God gives good gifts. Our very lives are dependent upon the kindness of God. I said earlier, he gave us this day to live in. So always be thankful and keep a close rein on your tongue. Choose to be thankful. You know, I've spent a lot of time convincing you not to chase after the bright spots apart from God. I haven't really talked about how to engage in positive discipleship. You know, what are the choices I make? How do we find blessing as a result of seeking first the kingdom of God? Let's talk about seeking God's righteousness on trusting God in three areas, three arenas, really. You see, nothing is secular as if it had nothing to do with God. God cares about your financial health. To say that God exists in order to make you wealthy would make both you and your money more important than God, which is a problem. But the resources by which we obtain physical necessities is going to be important to our good, good Father. The principle about seeking the kingdom first makes all the difference here. God wants us to trust him, to put his desires as our first priorities. You know, so instead of making money our first, our preoccupation, we make seeking to please God top priority. You know, so find a job that's a blessing to your community, to your customers, to your coworkers, to your family. The New Testament commends working with your hands, and it's an expression that has a nuance of creativity in it. So those of us whose work is less manual can still find a fulfillment of it there. Oftentimes, God will use money to reveal his will to you. And his good path. If you want to buy something and you don't have the money, that might be a clue. The lack of patience, you know, somehow thinking that we deserve something fancy and brand new that we have to buy on credit when we could buy something older but serviceable for cash. That buying on credit's been the road to ruin for many. Avoid credit. Said, receive what you can afford as a good gift from God, the Father of lights. Second arena to consider is our health. There are threats we can do nothing about, but there is a great deal we can choose that impacts our health. Not too many years ago, a famous ball player was suspended for using illegal performance-enhancing drugs in his body, and he feigned ignorance. I didn't know that was in the supplement I took. There's a highly regarded sportscaster who said, it's his business to know what he puts in his body. It's our business to know what we're putting in our bodies as well. You know, I wrestle with this as you all do. You know, I've been trying to get rid of my own personal COVID-19. I know from experience, when the stressors are going on in your life, that milkshake tastes good, and a burrito will never reject you. But like the wild dog, once you let it in, it'll mess you up. The bodies we live in is on loan. They're on loan from God. You know, besides our diet, living as stewards of the body God lent you also means, you know, avoid the abuse of substances. Get appropriate exercise without making a god out of your appearance. So much of the Christian life is finding that middle path. As our final arena to consider this living thankful lives by seeking first the kingdom of God, the final arena is the arena of relationships. During World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer spent month after month in a Nazi prison cell because he dared to defy Adolf Hitler. Bonhoeffer used a secret code to write letters to a friend. He was one of many people throughout history, many believers, for whom prison became an opportunity to prayerfully consider what is important in life. So we call the church away from religious forms and traditions and toward a deliberate imitation of Jesus. He called it Jesus, the man for others. You know, Jesus healed even when he was tired. He touched the sick to heal them, even at risk to himself. And just as he set his face toward Jerusalem, though he knew the cross was waiting for him there, choosing because it was the path to free us from the bondage of our sin. So we will find the fulfillments, the blessings, the bright spots to lighten our darkness when we seek to show our love for God by loving the people he puts in our lives. Be stewards of those relationships. The people whose lives we can benefit. Look for the opportunities. That little dialogue of God, what would you have me do? You know, the details are individual. Here we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But Jesus' life is a pattern for us here, the man for others. Rick Warren said it well in the opening words of his bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life. It's not all about you. And it's not all about me. I encourage you this holiday to remind yourself that thankfulness is the gateway to honest Christianity. Abide in the word that has the power to save us. Instead of chasing the bright spots for our lives, seek the kingdom of God, the Father of lights. Let us pray. Oh Lord, free us from self-tyranny. You've promised to take care of us. Even more than you do the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And you're good at it. You're good, good, Father. But it can be a little nerve-wracking to let go and trust you. There's a lot in the world that tries to tell us we got to do this ourselves and we got to look out for number one. Remind us, God, that you are number one. Help us to seek your kingdom first. And Lord, for whom seeking your kingdom is a whole new thing, putting faith in you and choosing to become a follower of Jesus is a new thing. We ask you to give them grace to reach out and to find that you're there, holding, guiding, helping, leading. Help us to encourage one another to be good stewards of these relationships we enjoy, even with those right in this room and watching with us via internet. Thank you for all your gifts, especially through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.